From Jerusalem, this is Baruch Gartner with the Living Aligned Podcast. Teachings from the Hasidic Masters, providing the tools you need to live with greater vitality, connection, and joy. One line from the Talmud turns Purim into a festival like no other. Feasting, drinking, clowning around. The Gemara in Megillah 7b teaches, one is obligated to get intoxicated on Purim so much so until he cannot discern between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. According to the simple way of looking at this mitzvah, it just doesn't make sense. Frivolous behavior is simply against the Torah. What's going on here? This Gemara is brought down in the Jewish codes. The Ramah gives an alternative way of reaching the state of not knowing. Just drink a little bit more than usual and go to sleep. I'm assuming that if you're tuned in to the podcast of Living Aligned, you're probably not too excited about going to sleep in the middle of Purim. And here's another example of a deep Torah concept that without going into the Kabbalah and Hasidus just don't make sense. Interestingly enough, the Chofetz Chaim in the Be'er Halacha asked this important question. How is it possible the rabbis of blessed memory want a person to do something so dangerous, such a big stumbling block, that appears to be totally against the Torah? And he answers with the following words. Because of the miracles of the demise of Vashti and the promotion of Esther, as well as the fall of Haman, were all through feasting and wine, therefore, Chazal instituted this mitzvah to remember these miracles. Hidden in these words of the Chofetz Chaim and the Be'er Halacha lie the connection between clowning around in Purim and advanced joy, Simcha Tevi'ah 3. The following ideas are based on the teachings of Rabbi Nosson in the Laws of Tachanun, when after Shmoneh Esrei, we fall down, so to speak, on our face, in order to raise up the lost sparks that were lost through transgression. But before we go into this deep, deep Kabbalistic concept, on a simple level, the turnaround of Purim, which is mentioned in the verses at the end of the Megillah, is very similar to the story of Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zusha. All of a sudden, what looks black, what looks dark, turns around. You can't have a holiday without a harsh decree. There's no Pesach without Paro. There's no Purim without Haman. All of a sudden, things turn around. Haman is hung on the same eights, the same gallows he prepared for Mordechai. It all turned around, but this is the simple turnaround. On a deeper level, in Lakutei Halachos, Rabbi Nosson explains, how do we know Haman from the Torah, says the Gemara? Ha min ha eitz, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Haman himself is hinted in the Torah on the first day of creation. The drama that occurred on that day to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is an ongoing struggle between good and evil, truth and falsehood. For the side of darkness is constantly enticing people to turn off the way. And in doing so, they lose their inner peace and joy. And it's the tzaddikim to try and wake us up and encourage us to turn around and regain that lost joy, the sparks of holiness lost to the other side. All of this is according to the Zohar and the Arizal. So please try and open your minds and try and understand how this is so relevant to us today on multiple planes. In the world in general, as a Jewish nation, and most important on an individual level. On the first day of creation, the side of darkness, the Sitra Achra, the other side, the snake, came with craftiness, disguised behind the mask of truth to entice one to transgress, to get one to turn off the straight path, the path of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, the Torah, the divine plan. This is what we call mitzvah's cosmic connection. And this is the joy of Gan Eden, the simcha of connection, the simcha of mitzvahs, where everything flows because it's according to the cosmic plan. It's all for the King of Kings, not for my personal gratification or my personal honor. And Baruch Hashem, we see with our eyes, these type of tzaddikim are the truly happy people, for they are truly connected to the source. And when a person deviates from that path, he turns to the world of separation. Because the side of darkness, the other side, is disconnected. It has no life force of its own. And the sparks that it swallows are fragmented, meaning they're not connected to their source. For example, when you pluck a flower, it looks wonderful for 24 hours, but then it wilts. In that place of darkness, the other side, there's no joy because everything is fragmented, cut off from its source. In that place, there's no satisfaction, no satiation. All joy there is an illusion. It's all temporary. It's not real. It's a facade. People might appear happy, but it's all an external mask, a big Purim spiel. And due to this, a person is totally depressed, and at the same time, he gives life force to the other side. Rabbi Nosson teaches this is what's called the exile of the divine presence, the fall of the Shekhinah, the joy of the Jewish people, going into Gullus, going into exile. So what now? How does one escape the darkness of exile, the world of separation, cut off from the source, distant from our spiritual health, happiness, and holiness? What does one do? In order to understand the answer, let us go to the story of Mordechai and Esther, the story of Purim. The story of the Megillah begins in the days of Ahasuerus. The Jewish people were at the end of 70 years of exile, 70 years after the destruction of the first temple, waiting for the redemption, and it's not happening. Adarabba, the exact opposite. The king is throwing a ball, a feast of wine, not for one night or two nights, a 180-day feast, a show of his wealth, his power and honor. And the nature of the other side, it's all about me, my money, my honor. I'm the king. He dressed up in the clothes of the high priest, and he wanted to show off Vashti, his beautiful wife. You guys could be just like me and Vashti. Being Jewish is irrelevant. Assimilate. The wine was even kosher with Bedatz Eda Haredes. And Chazal tell us, unfortunately, they partook of this feast. They gave up. They gave in. And they lost it. And eventually, Esther, the pearl of the Jewish people, is taken into the palace. She represents the divine presence. Our joy is lost to the Sitra Achra, the other side. But wait, there's still hope, because there's one person that remained in a state of constant connection, Das. Mordechai knew all, Kol. He knows how to unify the heavens and the earth. He doesn't bow down. He doesn't give in. And he really bothers these guys more than anything in the world, because Mordechai is a Yid. He's in a constant state of connection and joy. And so too, Mordechai and Esther are in a state of constant connection despite the fact that they're separated. And they decide that they're going to fast for 3 days. In theory, after praying and fasting for 3 full days, and finding favor in the eyes of the king, she could have asked the king to have mercy on her people. Why did she specifically make a feast of wine? Here lies the secret that was hidden in the words of the Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha. Mordechai and Esther knew that the only way that they could subjugate Haman was by going to the root, the same place where they lost it, the feast of wine. From the forest itself comes the handle of the axe to cut down the trees in order to make a real rectification on transgressions, one must go to the source, mine ube, from that thing itself. The Zohar teaches the essential sweetening of all harsh judgments has to be done at the root, at its source. And of course, in the end, everything turns around. Mordechai is the second to the king. He inherits the wealth in the house of Haman, and even many of the common people convert. All of the lost sparks are returned. Rabbi Nachman said there's an idea that everything will turn around. There's always hope. Don't give up. Hashem has great infinite mercy. In general, the concept of tshuva and tzaddikim, but in particular, there are two very special days, extra holy days, Kodesh Kodoshim, Shabbos Shabboson, Yom Kippurim, when we fast instead of feast. God willing, we'll talk more about it after Purim. Yom Kippur is Kippurim, like Purim. Purim is the highest of the highs, the most auspicious day of the year to do tshuva, to return. Return what? Our lost joy. The joy that fell into the dark side, into the gullus. And yet the way to do tshuva on this day, the way to return, is to go down to the lowest level by feasting, drinking, fooling around like clowns. This is the secret of fooling around on Purim, mile d'shtusa. There's an idea that sometimes it's impossible for a person to be happy just with the mitzvahs. He has to go into the side of foolishness. And in doing so, he unlocks the hidden joy that's fallen into the dark side. But ultimately, it's all done with connection. So dear friends, before you get carried away with the joy of the day, make a small prayer. I really don't understand how acting frivolously elevates the lost sparks, but I believe in the tzaddikim. And everything that I do today is to regain my lost joy, the sparks of holiness. And please, Hashem, have mercy on me. And in doing so, through my joy, may everything turn around for the best. Have a wonderful, wonderful Purim.
Always stay connected and subscribe now to the Living Aligned podcast.